Welcome back to Well Yes, the podcast where science and wellness meet. I'm Walter, founder of Hum Nutrition.
And I'm Sarah Greenfield, registered dietitian and functional medicine practitioner.
Sarah, today's topic, I have so much to ask you and really excited about, but like, how are you in general? I like this new background. Where are you?
I'm just going to be different, a different place every time we talk. I'm at my friend's house.
You change offices like I change underwear.
Well, I was lucky enough to have kind friends that were like, you can go to our house for the day because today they're doing tiling at our house. So it's very loud, but we'll be in by the 17th, like done by the – well, not done because then they have to do stuff, but – most of the loud stuff will be done by the 17th. So I'm just hanging in there and waiting for my own space. But for now, at least I can come here. This is very cozy.
Do you know what? It looks great. You look like commander in chief, I would say. I like it very much.
It's very quiet. The only thing I can hear occasionally are squirrels running on the roof.
I can't hear a thing. I'm currently at war with one squirrel in my garden because I love my little gardening and like it keeps eating my tomatoes that I sort of like patiently wait for. And the moment they ripen, the squirrel takes the first bite. So anyway, that's my love hate with squirrels. They're really cute, but when it comes to
gardening. They're very athletic. Like you can try and keep them away and they can jump and they can like crawl on like the tiny, they're amazing.
They really are. Well, listen, today's topic is actually really relevant. Just came back from Europe, and which was lovely. And we're speaking about time change, and I'm going right through it, like trying to time change into this time zone here, because that's the one thing that's really unpleasant. It's like when you travel through time zones, and between Europe and LA, it's 9 hours different. So that's a big one, basically.
Yeah, that's a lot.
What are your little hacks when you do like your adjustments? Because you travel a bit as well. Do you have any little hacks for that?
I love to travel. There's a couple things that I do. Like one of the most important things for me is food and eating at the time that I'm supposed to be eating. So even if I'm not hungry, I will eat breakfast at the time wherever I am that it is breakfast time, or lunch when it's lunchtime, to try and get that rhythm and regulate my circadian rhythm, because that really helps. So that's one thing I'll do. And then I also love melatonin for jet lag. I think there's really good research around that. I always travel with that. There's like three or four things I always travel with, and melatonin is one of them. Yeah. So between those two things, and then, you know, trying to stay awake and really be on the time zone, like keeping myself awake until it's a proper time to go to bed. That's how I adjust to time change. But when we're talking about, you know, like a smaller time change, like daylight savings, there's different ways to maneuver that because it's not so drastic, but it still has a big impact.
It has a huge impact. We'll talk about that. It's our topic of the day. It's time change and sleep 101, basically. For what is it called? Fall back. But like, I discovered a new hack lately, which I want to share with you. Maybe you should try that as well. I didn't believe it to begin with, but it has to do with melatonin. And typically what, you know, what I used to do is like, I would take it when it's time to sleep, actually. But when I come back from Europe, I'm so tired anyway, come 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. or 10 p.m., I have no problems falling asleep. But what the real problem is, like, you wake up in the middle of the night, like, let's say 1 o'clock in the morning or two, right? And this friend of mine said to me in the south of France, like, yeah, just take like a sleeping aid then when you wake up and in the early hours. Like, really? So I tried this for the first time this week, and it's absolutely amazing. It's a game changer. The moment you wake up and it's, you know, it's 2 a.m. or 3 a.m., you don't spend time on the phone, whatever it is, just pop that melatonin in. 3 milligrams I take, and I take the Hum Nutrition one. I have to say it, it's really super clean. I love this one. And you just fall right back to sleep and you wake up at 6 a.m., maybe 7 a.m. if you're lucky, and you're pretty good. So this week has been surprisingly easy. So try that next time when
I'll
you
try that.
Back from overseas. Anyway, today's topic is how daylight savings time affects our health and what to do about it. So Sarah, let's why don't we start with the basics here? It's like, what does time change do to our bodies? Or maybe let's start even with the history of daylight savings, because I think that's really an interesting one as well. Believe it or not, we weren't always there, right? We didn't always
No.
change our time. And our producer, Brooke, also kind of looked into this topic. And she found out that it has all to do with the war, really, where it was about energy conservation. That time change was introduced because obviously, you know, in the winter, you want to have these morning, you want more light in the morning. And it really started during the World War I, I believe, in Germany and Austria, out of all places, who would have thought? And then it sort of like, you know, spread around the world basically. But there were other attempts prior to that. Benjamin Franklin, you know, jokingly suggested that the Tupper regions they could save candles by waking up early in the summer. There was a proposal in 1895 by George Hudson in New Zealand to change clocks. Around 1907, William Willett, a British builder, independently revived the idea, campaigning for advancing clocks in the summer to make better use of daylight. So this concept has been around for a long time, and then it was implemented during World War I and then spread across the world. And then it, you know, after the World War ended, many countries kept it, including the US. And quite frankly, I'm not a huge fan, I must say. I personally, I wouldn't want to know where you are on this one. I love the light in the evening when I, you know, I finish
Oh,
my
yeah.
work. Of course, it's a bit difficult if it's a bit darker in the morning, but quite frankly, I just like this idea of ending my day and still having a few glimpse at the sky before finishing the day. But where are you on this one?
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement. And I can't remember how long ago it was. Maybe it was 10 years ago, but I remember on the ballot in California, there was a section to vote for or against daylight savings. And I was like, against, get it gone. And I believe it went through, but then to actually make that change happen is like a whole process. But I'm right there with you. I do not like it. I do not like changing the clocks. I hate when it's dark at like 4:30. To me, that is so depressing. And there's research that shows that that actually enhances seasonal depression. So that's right on track there. But yeah, that nighttime darkness for extended periods of time is so intense.
And speaking of research, there's actually, believe it or not, a 6% increase in car crashes that week when we change daylight savings, basically in the fall. So there is actually some hard evidence that it's not just beneficial to our own mental well-being, but also to our safety, quite frankly. And the reason is apparently people have reduced alertness as they're changing their body clock. So some, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're just on a different, I guess you're not like 100% there yet, and that translates into car accidents. So there are many reasons for, you know, not changing the clocks. I'm a huge fan of that, but anyway, but what does it do to our bodies? I'm just curious, like, you know, from a scientific perspective, like what like, you know, there are so many questions I have, digestive systems, our sleep cycles, etc. Talk me through that.
And I think the body is so, I mean, it comes back to, for me, like the body is so fascinating because even when we look from a scientific perspective at an hour shift, how it can really impact circadian rhythm. So how you're sleeping, which really is just like a trickle-down effect to everything else. That's going to impact gut function. It impacts hormones. So hormones will shift when that time is disrupted, our sleep time is disrupted. Metabolic activity shifts. There's an increase in heart attacks as well and cardiovascular issues when we shift our sleep because there's this minor amount of stress put on the body. And it's fascinating. Like we adjust. I don't want to make this alarmist and be like, oh my God, the sleep, the daylight savings is hurting people. We can adjust to that, but it is fascinating when you look at the research to say that there are more car accidents and cardiovascular incidences when we adjust that sleep, even just we shift it an hour.
Yep. Well, it's also interesting because you get, you know, your body clock is just a fuss. It's just like a machine, right? You eat a certain time, digest the food, then you know when to sleep and all that, and you're shifting that around. Yeah, it's a big adjustment. Of course, you adjust ultimately, but it takes a minute.
I always think about kids because to me, kids are like super reflective of what it means to be kind of like a healthy functioning person. And kids are really, what's really important for them are rhythms. And time changes are very disruptive to children as well. And it's always just like fascinating to see, like with a kid, you want them to eat at the same time. You want them to go to bed at the same time because it helps prep their nervous system to know and expect what's coming. And it helps their bodies biologically just balance out for life and to know, like, you know, this is what I do now. And I start to get hungry around noon. So it's really important to kind of maintain those timings. And yeah, it's just powerful within the child. And then to see like, that's how it impacts adults as well. Like we're not as sensitive to it, but there still is a biological impact.
And you mentioned hormonal change. So is there like, tell me more about women and periods and their menstrual cycles. How are they affected by time changes?
So it's a slight disruption, but it does impact hormones. So we have, what to me is really interesting is when the sun goes down and when it's dark, our body makes melatonin. And when the sun comes up and the light is out, our body makes serotonin. So that's how we get that distinction between kind of like the grogginess, tired, is the sun goes down, we get tired. That's just a biological hack that Mother Nature made. And then when it wakes up, when the sun comes up, we call it the sun waking up in my house, and serotonin is made. So that gives us that alertness. What happens when we have more melatonin production is that can impact actually estrogen and progesterone. So we do see a slight shift in ovulation, and there's an axis. It's so interesting, the HPO axis. So a lot of times we'll talk, when we talk about nervous system regulation, we talk about stress, it's the HPA axis, which is the brain's connection to the adrenal glands. But when we look in this instance of how a time change can affect hormones, you can look at the impact of the HPO axis, which is hypothalamus, pituitary, ovarian. So brain to ovaries and ovulation. So there is an impact. And some people are a little bit more sensitive to that. So it could take some time hormonally to adjust, or it could create more like PMS type symptoms, mood dysregulation, maybe some cramping and bloating. Possibly. I don't, again, want to freak anybody out because it's a subtle one, but it can be there and it can definitely have an impact.
Okay. So what can we do about that? Right. Like at the moment, despite, I think generally speaking, the general population is very much in favor of not changing the clock anymore. and I think the majority would like to keep the longer hours, like the longer, you know, light at the end of the day. I'm just curious. So what are the good hacks during times of time changes, like, you know, as we're adjusting the clock, which is coming very, very soon?
So this is something I did. I always thought like I was very neurotic when it came to my child because I did sleep training. And when you're sleep training a child, it is like to the minute for me, at least. I'm like, I love control and okay, I love
what time do you put him to bed?
Well, when we were in it, he went to bed at 7 on the dot, like 7 p.m., no ifs, ands, or buts. So when daylight savings would come, I was like sweating and like, oh my God, how do I do this? And so I was like, here's a great trick. I'll just do 15 minute incremental changes with his schedule, like 5 days in advance. Very intense. I realize now, I was like, that was really intense, but like, I love sleep. And so I was like, it's really important for my child to be sleeping. So we would just start adjusting his schedule in 15 minute increments until daylight savings hit and we were on it. And my husband was like, you are crazy, but it worked really well. And
at least he didn't do it in 1 minute in increments starting 60 days early.
I'd be like, all right, 3 months out. That would have been 2 months out. We got to do it.
Very interesting. I love that. My parents always tried, they did the same with me. Like, I mean, it was literally like 6 p.m., 7 p.m. I'm like, bedtime, but I never liked it. I'm very nocturnal. And I would always come back like in a horror movie, like, you know, in the character would always come back. I would just reappear. My parents wanted to have a dinner with their friends and all that. I would just show up all the way until midnight. I think until they went to bed, basically. They couldn't get me to sleep.
I love that. Like the jammies with the messed up hair and you're like, exactly, I have to go to the bathroom. Like my kid will make up any excuse to come into our room and be like, but mom, what if a pickle comes through the roof? And I'm like, I don't know. What if a pickle comes through the roof? Good thought.
Pickles are healthy.
I'm like, that's what I said. He's like, what if it falls on the dog? I was like, then you and me are going to have to eat a lot of pickles.
Yeah, I was in massive FOMO. I was like, I always thought something I'm missing out, basically. And I used to walk as well as a child, which is, I stopped.
So did I.
Did you?
Yes. My parents one time found me. They heard my feet running up and down the driveway. And I was sound asleep. Like, I mean, not sound, I was up, but I have no recollection of that.
Yeah, I was like in our garden, and it was a pretty big garden actually. And I was just like sleeping there, no problem. Walked my way into the garden and just slept there. It's interesting. See, I never knew that about you.
Ah, I didn't know that about you.
In common. Talk about it later. All right. Let's move on to nutritional solutions. Like, obviously, melatonin, I think, is really helpful. It is just such a great hack, I would say, when it comes to sleep. And I would also probably call out D3 in general. That's a good addition, specifically during the winter month where you have just generally less light exposure. What's your perspective?
Yeah, I would say D3, not necessarily, like, I don't think D3 is going to help you fall asleep, but it's really important as we lose those daylight hours for immune function, because D3 is a huge player in immune health. So when we lose our ability to convert it, because that's how we get our, that's how we activate vitamin D in our body, is through UV rays and sunlight. So that's what happens when we get less exposure. We're not getting as much of that active, usable vitamin D. So yeah, taking D3 in its active form is a really good option. If you want to get really nerdy, there's this app called D-Minder, like reminder, but D-Minder. And what it does is it allows you to put in your location, the date, and then how much of your skin is exposed. And then you set a timer when you go outside, and it'll tell you how much vitamin D you actually effectively converted.
That is so nerdy. I love this. I have to try this out. That sounds
it's a good one. It's really fun to be like, okay, I have, you know, my arms exposed and my legs, so maybe that's like 40% of my body, and how much vitamin D am I actively converting? Really fun stuff.
Also, you know, we have Here Comes the Sun, and we call it Here Comes the Sun because it also helps with your mood, right? It really, the sunshine makes a big difference. And you mentioned winter depression, which is a big topic and big issue, specifically in more, you know, in the northern hemisphere during the winter month, of course, and southern hemisphere during the summer month. But we've seen this in Europe, like throughout Scandinavia, for example. I, you know, was brought up literally not seeing the sun between, I would say, October and March, where it was just foggy, dark, and it is quite unpleasant, I must say. So so critical. I would really recommend people considering a D3 during the winter. It makes a huge difference.
Especially in areas, that just made me think of areas where you have darkness, like Alaska. They have darkness for like 20 hours out of the day in the winter. And that, to me, whew, I don't know how people do that. I would be drinking vitamin D.
I think that's probably one of those things that happen. I think you would consider a sunbed, actually. I think that's something else.
Yeah, or a happy lamp. Have you heard of those happy lamps?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
That's all right. Happy lamp, vitamin D. I think maybe I'd be okay.
Yeah, and then you just, you know, have a drink and watch the northern lights. I think that could be quite lovely.
Yeah, actually. There you go.
Yeah, you think you can always make like something good out of it. How about like any other minerals that one should consider?
Magnesium is a really good mineral just for your overall health, but it helps relax your muscles. It's just a really good foundational mineral. So I would say that is another good one. You can get that from dark leafy greens, supplementation. I think magnesium is one that I find often is very low in people because we don't have as great of access to it just from the foods that we're eating. And if you have digestive issues, it's even harder to pull that out of your food. So taking a magnesium supplement, especially to help with sleep, like glycinate or threonate. And I believe we did a whole podcast on magnesium. So maybe we can link that somewhere because that was a really, really great one.
Somewhere in the caption. Yeah, but you're right. Like a magnesium glycinate is a really good one because it's very absorbable, of course, but also it really helps you with that relaxation and with better sleep. And melatonin, we spoke about it already. I'm a big fan of 3-MGs. Like I think that's the most widely studied form of it. But there are some suggestions as well to maybe start with a lower dose if you want to like ease your way into it, which could be as little as 0.5 milligrams or 1 milligram. But the one thing I do want to call out about melatonin is that more is not more. Like 3 mg is a really good dose because there's also like 5 mg and 10 mg now in the market. That is just not going to help you to get any better sleep, I would say. What's your perspective?
Well, I've heard people going like mega dosing on melatonin. Yeah. Like, I think my mother was one of those people. She's like, I'm on 100 milligrams of melatonin.
Wow, I
Like,
didn't even know that
mom,
that
my
existed.
God,
Like a
it
month's
was
supply of
high. Yeah.
creams. Wow, that's a lot.
She was having some sleep issues. So,
And did the 100 mg help or not?
I mean, my mother, I love her dearly. No, it did not help her.
Did
It
you
might have
see
helped
the
for a week and then she was on to the next thing. But I think the research that I've looked at as well, 3 milligrams seems to be the sweet spot for it. I know you can go up if you're a little bit, like my husband will take 10 milligrams. He's a bigger person and that seems to work for him, but I don't think you need to go. I really think the 3 milligrams is beneficial.
Yep.
Just to stabilize sleep and to kind of get you back into your circadian rhythm.
Yeah, and then also good sleep hygiene, like screens off an hour before you go to bed, for
Oh, for
example.
sure.
Big
Yeah.
fan. We ban all electronics from the bedroom. There's just nothing in there. Like I'm like the moment I see like a little LED light somewhere glowing in the dark, it's
That's the
kick.
worst.
It's the worst.
I don't know why people put, like, we have a humidifier to go back to my child, which everything seems to be related to this episode. He has this humidifier, and when you turn it on, it's like this glowing light. And I'm like, why do you have this thing that you use at
Thank you
nighttime?
for saying that. That's why I kicked up my humidifier, because exactly the same issue. And I was like, no, I want it for better sleep. And suddenly you're like creating all this light pollution.
Yeah, and that's gonna, so we talked about the melatonin and serotonin production. If there is light pollution in your room, that's going to alter your body's natural ability to produce melatonin. So when we're trying to optimize and do these hacks and to create this beautiful sleep environment, having even those little lights from these machines can be problematic.
And then you have to have, of course, a smoke detector in your room. They have also LED lights, right, that
They
are on.
blink. Oh, yeah.
Yep, there's that. I mean, there's just a lot, you know, to pay attention. Well, you can also wear eye shades, I guess, right?
That's
But
true. Yeah. I also really like, I mentioned food as being an important thing for me if I'm traveling to get me back on schedule, but having balanced meals and stable blood sugar is also really important for just easing yourself into bedtime and not eating a huge meal like right before you go to bed, but like 3 to 4 hours before you go to bed, having something that has a good amount of fat, protein, complex carbohydrates. That's a really good thing to help stabilize your blood sugar while you're sleeping.
well, listen, thank you for all the great insights. Let's do our well yeses and well nos. What are yours this week?
Well, my well no is having a big, heavy meal right before you go to sleep.
Okay.
That is an absolute well no. And then my well yes would be magnesium-rich foods, getting things like smoothies or soups with lots of dark leafy greens. That can be a really good way to balance blood sugar and also get good access to magnesium.
Yeah, well, my well, yes, it's like I would love to keep daylight saving, which is the summertime, basically, right? All year. I don't want to change the clock, and that's my well no. In the fall, I just feel so strongly about this. I don't think it's necessary, and I truly, the most thing I'm looking forward to when it comes to summer is not so much, of course, it's nice, it's warmer and all that, but just a bit more light in the evening, and that's what I really am looking forward to. It just, I think it concludes your day in a such a sweet and nice way. And now it's gonna be the next few months where you come home, it's pitch dark outside, and of course you can make it all cozy and this and that, but I'm just not a fan, I must say. So that's my well know. You know, that people, and some people actually propose to keep the winter time, right? So it would be permanently darker early, and I just I'm really
No.
against that. I think I would that's the hill I die on, as they say,
No,
right?
I'll come on that hill too. No, I cannot deal with that
All
dark early nights.
right, let's do our RD rapid fire this week. Of course, it has all to do with you know, things you can do to support better sleep. You know how this goes, Sarah, on a scale of 10, with 10 being the best. Melatonin supplements,
10.
morning sunlight,
Ooh, 10.
magnesium-rich foods,
10.
skipping caffeine after 2 p.m.,
9.
napping during transition week.
10. I love naps.
Yeah, they're the best. Eating balanced meals.
10.
Screen-free evenings.
10.
Exercise timing.
10.
Sorry, I've been so generous lately. Gradually adjusting bedtime.
10. I mean, these are all the things we talked about that I think
I know,
are
wonderful. I know.
So
red
I
wine.
Love the reinforcement.
We didn't talk about red wine. Hold on. This one's new.
4. There we go. For sleep.
I'm giving that one 100. Okay. Think of regular sleep schedule. Oh my
10.
God. That's like 1,000 from your perspective. Well, listen, Sarah, this was awesome. Thank you so much. Let's hope that the time change that's about to come is not going to throw us off and we won't see like an intestinal crash or disturbances. Thank you. This was awesome. I also want to say a massive thank for everyone listening. If you like this episode, please like it, share it, drop us a comment. We always pay attention to that. And I also want to thank our producer, Brooke, and our production assistant, Fatima, for making this really wonderful episode happen. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you.